McKenzie Holmes was the focal point of a historic campaign for the Hoosiers this year and had an individual season that will go down as one of the best in history.
You are Locked On Hoosiers, your daily podcast on the Indiana Hoosiers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. You are Locked On Hoosiers, the one and only daily IU podcast, and we're part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Reminder, we're free and available anywhere you guys listen to podcasts, at Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, available over there as well. I want to thank you guys for making us your first listen every day. I'm your host, as always, Jacob Rood. Reminder, I mentioned this about once a week, Locked On is now partnered with SiriusXM, which means you can listen to us on the SiriusXM app. Come the regular season for football and basketball, that also means you can catch the IU games over there as well. On SiriusXM, on the SXM app, all you have to do is search Hoosiers. The IU women's basketball team obviously had an incredible season this year, and in the middle of it, both figuratively and literally, was McKenzie Holmes, the center for the Hoosiers and the center of everything that they were able to do this year. It was a career year for McKenzie Holmes. If you think back to how we were kind of approaching things at the beginning of the season, we talked on here. We talked to Wyatt from Hoopla. We've had him on a number of times. Every Dayers will remember him, Wyatt Crozier. We were discussing the fact that McKenzie Holmes was really good last year, and IU's new look offense should be able to help her in spacing the floor out and giving her more room to work. Well, the result, now that it's in the books, was an absurd season, a record-breaking season. She finishes with 22.3 points per game this year. But what was easily the wildest part was the 68% field goal shooting. Just huge jumps in efficiency, huge jumps in scoring. That was 7 points better than what she shot the previous season. That was 8 percentage points better from the field, which, like, isn't, like, 60% was already really good, and she was over 60% every season. 68% is hard to really fathom. She averaged each game going 9 of 13 from the field. That, I don't know that you can belabor that point enough, how good she was. She did not have a game in which she shot, she had one game in which she shot under 50% from the field. It was the Ohio State game in the conference tourney, Big Ten tourney, where she was not 100%, as we would later find out. And really, if you watched, you could tell she was not 100%. That was the only game this season where she did not shoot at least 50% from the field. So many incredible feats. And if you look at the record book, as I started kind of looking at her season, I realized that there's a good chance she's up there in a number of records. The 692 points she scored this year are second in program history for a single season, behind only Tyra Buss back in 2017-18, which I believe is the season that the Hoosiers went to the NIT tournament and went to the final of that. So McKenzie Holmes played, she didn't play every game, 31 games that season. Tyra Buss played 37. So she had a little bit more. She scored 70 points over those extra 6 games. So she definitely had her own great season. But that was the year that IU won the NIT postseason NIT tournament. Tyra was incredible, and that's the barometer. We're going to mention her a lot in this podcast and kind of moving forward, because McKenzie is coming for that crown of the best ever in program history. One very possibly held by Tyra Buss right now. But last season home, second best scoring season in terms of points. If you look at field goals made, it is first in program history. She made 281 field goals last season. The record was 273. She was first in field goal percentage, 68%, beat her previous record from her freshman season, in which she shot 63%. And now she has four of the top six seasons in efficiency. That's absurd. And you can guarantee she's going to be the all-time leader in field goal percentage when things are said and done. The current leader is 58.3%, Shirley Bryant. Holmes is 63.5%. It would take a truly awful season to not finish first in that regard. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole on records Holmes will break. I want to spend a whole podcast on that, to be honest, because there's a lot of them. She's going to, similar to how Trace last season, we spent a podcast looking at all of the records he was going to break and all the records he did end up breaking. McKenzie's going to do that. And I want to spend a whole podcast just talking about that, perhaps this summer, at least closer to the season. But her individual season was incredible. And it was the result of having an offense that wasn't just spaced out. Like that was a big thing, just having more spacing, more three-point shooting threats, but just having more weapons. You had Grace, obviously. You had Sydney Parrish. You had Yarden Garzon. Just having four weapons like that, all in double figures and scoring, and Chloe right there at 9.5 points, as well as Sarah Scalia. Like, there were a lot of weapons on the floor, and defenses couldn't just load up on stopping Holmes. She was at the top of scouting reports, but she wasn't the only one they were worried about. And the result is that efficiency she had. I wanted to try to look up if anybody's had a comparable season to this, but Sports Reference, where I got these stats, do not have like searchable women's basketball data yet. This summer they might, and we might marvel at this again. But ultimately, she ends up shooting 69.5% true shooting percentage, which takes in twos, threes, free throws. Just in every regard to efficiency this year, she was unbelievable and one of the best in the country. It is incredible, not just the efficiency she had, but the volume she did it with. So she finished third in the country in field goal percentage. The two above her did not come close to both her volume, or they both played at mid-majors. So 68% for Indiana in the schedule they played, first was 70%, so she wasn't far off. That's incredible from her this season. She was third in effective field goal percentage, fourth in true shooting percentage. So one of the best in the country, despite the volume, despite playing in the Big Ten, despite IU's schedule, despite being at the top of every scouting report. And ultimately, she was a star Indiana needed, especially with Grace Berger out for a good chunk of that season. 2 years ago, or two seasons ago, when McKenzie went down, Grace stepped up, and the roles were reversed this season. Grace went down, and McKenzie stepped up in a big way and carried IU through that. An unbelievable season. And having rained all these plaudits onto her, I want to talk about, kind of looking forward, what can you even expect for her to be better next season? We'll talk about what kind of those realistic expectations might be here in a few moments. I want to talk to you guys about Built Bar first, though. We talk about Built Bar all the time. You guys know how much we love them here. They're healthy and they taste amazing. You can take one bite into that 100% dark chocolate bar. You're immediately going to think it's a candy bar, especially the flavors they have. Churro, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream, double chocolate, coconut puff, brownie batter, whatever it may be. The good news is it is also good for you because it only has 130 calories with 4 grams of sugar and 17 grams of protein. the best part now is that you can still order them at built.com and get whatever flavor you want, but you can also go to Walmart or Sam's Club and pick them up today. So next time you're at the store, as I was tonight, you guys can stop by, find some Built Bars, pick them up for you today, and I promise you won't regret it. You can thank me later. Big shout out to you guys for making us your first listen every single day. Everydayers, tomorrow on the show, we'll continue talking some women's basketball as we kind of catch up on some season recaps. Going to talk some backcourt players, Sarah Scalia, Chloe Moore McNeil, two players that were reliable in different ways or counted upon in different ways for the Hoosiers this season. And both will be back next season. So we'll talk about both of them as IU's kind of veterans in the backcourt. So be sure you guys are tuning in as we cycle through these women's and men's season recaps. And let me know your thoughts on these players in the comments down below. Kind of looking forward, this is really honestly hard to do with Mackenzie Holmes, because with other players, typically there's kind of an obvious weakness, or in, maybe not even a weakness, but an area that you can project growth. She, like, he or she wasn't great here, or he or she was good here, but they could be great. It's hard to do that with Mackenzie Holmes. When you shoot 68% and average 22-7, a first team All-American, there isn't a lot of room up. That's not to say she shouldn't strive for it, and there are some areas she can improve. She's going to be in these National Player of the Year, Big Ten Player of the Year conversations. She's going to start behind the eight ball because she's in the same conference as Caitlin Clark, similar to this year. And it was a very close race until that finale, regular season finale, where once Caitlin Clark hit that shot, it was done. But McKenzie's going to have another go at it this season. How much can she get better? The one area you can look at is three-point shooting, but that's been very, like, that isn't somewhere that she's actively tried to spread her game out. She shot 33s, all of them coming over the last three seasons. She only shot 6 her sophomore year, 15 her junior year, but only 9 attempts in 31 games this year. She made 2 of them. Maybe you say she could step out and become a bit more of a three-point shooter, and that could open up minutes for her to play with Lily Meister or Curry Jelks, the transfer the Hoosiers got. I'm not sure, but that's kind of one area you can look at that she's shown a little bit of it. Honestly, outside of that, like, she's going to want to be more efficient. She has such a deep bag of post moves that you can, it's hard to improve upon that, I guess is the best way to say it. Maybe passing a little bit. She could potentially be more of a kind of focal point through the post like Trace Jackson Davis was, but I don't think that's really how IU wants to play. They want to play with more movement and not necessarily just dump the ball into her. And I think she's a decent passer anyway. It's just more often than not she's looking to score versus looking to pass. Her assists doubled this season, 35 assists in 31 games. She had 37 the 2 years prior, so she's a decent enough playmaker in that regard. She's incredible defensively. Like, there just isn't a lot of areas that you say, oh, that needs to be better, other than, I think, health, durability. And I think that's a big thing the Hoosiers should focus on this season. They won the Big Ten title, and I'm not saying don't go for the Big Ten title this year, but I think IU's goals might be a little bit more big picture this upcoming season, especially with Holmes, because each of the last 2 years, the seasons ended with Holmes not at 100%. 2 seasons ago, she came back mid-season, never really got going again, and the Hoosiers fall in the Sweet 16 to UConn. This year, she gets injured at some point late in the season. I can't remember I believe it was during the Ohio State game. It definitely showed in the Ohio State game. She didn't even play in the opening NCAA tournament game. In the first half of the Miami game, to be frank, she looked really bad. She ended up bouncing back and having a huge second half, but IU was playing from behind, at least partly due to her struggles. It was a team-wide thing. I'm not going to put that on her, but this is two seasons where she's been less than 100%. So I think durability is probably the biggest thing she needs to improve upon. That's not all necessarily on her. She has been durable when available, if that makes sense. She played 30.7 minutes per game this season, and in Big Ten play, it was 33.5. So she is someone that can be out there a lot. And I would say a lot of those minutes that she wasn't available were in blowouts when IU was winning handily and it was garbage time. You can look, she played 37 minutes in both Iowa games. She played 40 minutes against Nebraska on New Year's Day when Grace wasn't there. 35 on the road against Illinois in a game that was a little close. 34 against Ohio State at home in that big game. Like, anytime there's a big game, she can get you 30, 35, 40 minutes if you need her to. Even in that Miami game where she was banged up, she played 35 of the 40 minutes. So she is someone that can be out there when it's important. Just maybe, I wouldn't be surprised if IU cuts back on some of those minutes and plays her a little bit less in the regular season to keep her a little more fresher. You have Curry Jelks there in now. You have Lily Meister. You have people that can spell her more during the regular season to keep some of that wear and tear down, to keep some of that, allow them to kind of do some maintenance and keep those minutes low so that when tournament time comes around, she's healthy, ready to go, and the Hoosiers can go on a run. Because it's, I don't know, frustrating is a word that comes to mind, but that almost doesn't encapsulate it, that the last two seasons, it hasn't been a healthy Mackenzie Holmes out there for the Hoosiers. And I think certainly last season against Miami, that played a decent role in IU losing that game. The other thing I think that it's going to be worth watching throughout the year is just solidifying her spot as the best ever in IU history. I mean, I think there's probably pretty good arguments for Tyra Buss, Grace Berger, and even Mackenzie Holmes at this point. Any of those three could be considered the best ever in the women's basketball program. I think by the end of this season, assuming full health, knock on wood, I don't know that there's going to be a debate. She will most likely be the all-time leading scorer. She's going to have the assist record. From last season. She's going to have the field goal percentage record, the field goals made record. She's already first in blocks. She comes in at 774 rebounds. She's probably not going to be finished first in that, but she's going to finish top five, somewhere around there. She is going to be, she doesn't yet have the blocks record. She's at 208, 269 is the record. So she needs 61 more. She had 58 this year. She did have 81 as a sophomore. So there's a chance, but she's going to be similar to how Trace was 1, 2, 3 in a number of these lists. That's going to be Mackenzie at the end of this year. So again, similar to how Trace last year, we kept saying, enjoy this. This is one of the best to ever play for the program. It's going to be a similar thing with Mackenzie. Enjoy it. Appreciate it. Because she's going to be one of the best ever to play for the Hoosiers. And we get one more season of that. I'm excited for it. And it's June. It's not even June yet. We got a long way to wait. But I'm excited for what Mackenzie Holmes can do next season. And what that kind of final season in Bloomington is going to look like for her. We'll continue these tomorrow, as I said, talking about Sarah Scalia and Chloe Moore McNeil. If you guys want to, if there's someone you guys want to see us do a season recap on first or earlier, let me know and we can work that in as well. But let's talk. We've talked a lot about Mackenzie Mbako. He has a brother who made some really interesting comments about the Hoosiers, as well as Tamron Kerr. Is a first-team All-American. We'll talk about the awards she got and the honors she received this week by D1Softball.com. So we'll talk about all that here in just a moment. It's before I jump in, it's Taryn Kerr. I knew it wasn't Tamron. That didn't sound right. Taryn Kerr is the one we'll talk about. We'll start with her. Taryn Kerr on Tuesday was recognized as a D1Softball.com first team All-American, and along with that, a freshman team All-American. They announced both those awards on Tuesday. D1Softball.com is one of the, kind of the premier places for college softball coverage. Like, it carries some weight to be named first team All-American and freshman team All-American, similar to maybe like an Athlon Sports, or probably even better than that, Sporting News, things like that, how those carry weight in different ways. Being D1Softball.com All-American, that is something big. And so for a Hoosier to be on there, a freshman Hoosier to be on there, is a huge deal. Looking back on this season, now that it's come to an end, we didn't really talk about who, like her final season stats. She was incredible. She broke four single season records. She broke the records for runs. She broke the records for home runs. She broke the records for RBIs. And she broke the record for slugging percentage. All IU program records. Incredible season from her. And she's a rookie. A freshman. Incredible. Just incredible stuff. She was named by D1 Softball a freshman team All-American. I believe she was a utility player, first team All-American. So she played second this year, but she ends up in the utility spots. They have a full kind of starting nine, a pitcher and four utility spots, but that's in the country. And so that's no small feat. There's a number of Tennessee players we saw. Keke Malloy, Ashley Rogers, McKenna Gibson. Some familiar names in that regard. But her being among those, Carlin Pickens as well at Tennessee, those are all players, most of them players that featured in Tennessee's win over IU. But Taryn's right up there with the best of them. So hats off to her. What an incredible season she had. Ethan Mbako. Not a name you should probably know, other than the Mbako part. You probably recognize that. He is a 2026 prospect. There is not rankings of 2026 prospects. There aren't even rankings of 2025 prospects. The best you're going to get is names to know. So, having said that, it's got to be pretty relevant, pretty interesting stuff to discuss it this far out. It is. Ethan Mbako spoke to Pro Insight on Twitter. They were doing a number of kind of interviews with prospects way far out during Nike EYBL stops. And the reason this is worth mentioning is that they asked him, "Do you have any dream schools in mind that you want to get involved in his recruitment?" His response: "I most definitely want to go to Indiana because my brother's there. So that's one of them." That's cool. That's interesting. That's notable. St. John's is the only school he said that had reached out to him. 2026 is so far out that it's like, I don't know that Indiana's recruiting anybody in 2026. I don't know that they probably should be. Maybe making initial contact or something like that, but and I don't even know, you can't get a scouting report on these guys. Nobody's really watching 2026 prospects yet. But his brother's really good, obviously, and you have an inside track there. So I don't have any real big insight into this or some big takeaway other than, I mean, it's cool to hear Indiana listed as a dream school for someone who, I mean, his brother's really good. If he turns out to be anything like his brother, circle back to this and remember him listing Indiana as a dream school. So that was just a fun little story, fun little video I thought was worth sharing. Big thanks to you guys for making us your first listen every single day. As I've said every day, as we'll continue season recaps this week. Make sure you follow us on Twitter if you have not already. Subscribe to the podcast. If you made it to the end of this, please subscribe. Whether on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, whatever it is, helps us out. Really appreciate that. Make sure you leave a rating and review as well. Most importantly, though, guys, hope you can get through hump day just fine. And as always, LEO.